Well, I barely remember how to do any of this stuff. I'm trying to load music on here, get a MyPillow commercial ready to go. I don't know. And all I could say is I'm sorry, but it is what it is. We're back. It is the Bushels and Barrels program. Ryan Peter is my name, Bushels and Barrels on TikTok and Twitter, where you can find me as usual. I'm hanging out with a woman who's shaving her face right now. Say hello, Jessica.
Hello, Jessica.
What are you doing?
Why do you have to call me out, like, whenever I'm doing
Well, you know, stuff? We've talked about, you know, making these podcasts and doing video, you know?
Yeah.
If we did a video, would you be doing that?
No.
But what are you doing? You're shaving your peach fuzz?
Just be quiet.
No.
Just stop talking about it, please.
It's fine.
It's like a dermaplane for my face.
A dermaplane?
Yeah.
Never heard of it.
Because you're a man.
Okay.
So.
I shaved last week. I won't have to do it again now for another 2 or 3 weeks.
Yeah.
How often do you dermaplane?
I should do it more often than I do, but.
Really?
Anyways, yeah, make sure. Like lotion go on, your skin moisturizer, and all your serums and makeup makes it go on real smooth.
Okay. Yeah. Hey, nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
I got to let people know what's going on around here.
Okay.
And I just report what
Thank
I see.
You. Thank you. I'm disgusted with your calling me out.
Sorry.
Anyways.
Do you want to start the show over?
It's all right. Go ahead.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. How you been doing?
Good.
How have we been doing?
Good.
Yeah. Pretty wet around here, at least on my farm. Now, that it is really funny. I have noticed this my entire life, and it stands true again this year. I live in Wabash County, Illinois, and right beside us where the town of Bone Gap is Edwards County. And it's like you cross a creek. It's called the Bumpaw Creek, and that's the boundary line between the two counties. You cross the creek, and you, like, enter another world. And the reason I say this is because it seems like in Wabash County, farmers are 2 to 3 weeks ahead of everybody in Edwards County. And it's like this every single year. And this is no exception. But for some reason, I'm a farmer who lives in Wabash County, but I should live in Edwards County because I don't get in a big hurry. Now, I'm not saying the people that's in a hurry is doing a horrible job. By no means am I saying that. I'm looking at some pretty good fields of crops that's growing right now. But I haven't done hardly anything because for the simple fact that everything I do is mud. Like, it's just, and maybe it's the way I farm. I don't know. Maybe I didn't get my burn down sprayed early enough, so the weeds are covering the ground, not letting a bunch of sun and wind hit it. I don't know. But I almost got stuck in my sprayer twice the past couple days just trying to spray burn down. The Terragator's leaving hellacious tracks in places, and that's supposed to be the thing that floats, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's supposed to, you know, you can go anywhere in a Terragator if you can steer it, you know. But I don't know. I'm almost to get started. I think this is Cinco de Mayo today. I could get rolling tomorrow and finally turn some dirt and feel decent about it and get my first beans in the ground. But it's supposed to rain all day tomorrow and all day Tuesday. Or maybe not all day. By the time this is all said and done, we're supposed to get an inch and a half of rain. So I just said, we'll do a podcast today.
Yeah. Maybe open the pool.
That sounds like a good idea. I brought that up. Maybe open the pool up and turn the heater on and hang out in it this evening.
Yeah.
That wouldn't be bad.
No.
So, anyway, I'm one of the few guys, and there's still a few guys that haven't started, but I'm one of the very few that haven't got anything planted. But it is May 5th.
There's a lot of people. I mean, Wabash County is crazy because I drove up to Springfield this week, and I was headed to the Capitol. Howlett building is where I go to pay fees or whatever. So Wabash County's like opened up and planted, right? A lot of areas are. Okay.
Yeah.
And then when I was driving, I think I saw like one big farmer, and you could tell because all the fields were done the exact same, you know, there was like one farmer who had worked ground.
Who'd done something.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
All the way up there.
Well, and
it's a 3-hour drive.
In Edwards County, I'm not behind. In Edwards County, yeah. I'm completely fine.
Yeah.
Nobody, I mean, very few people
it's
are
wild.
Doing much over there. But it's like, I don't know what it is about Wabash County. It must be the culture of the farmer, and you get the guy that goes because you see the neighbor going. And I don't know. Personally, I don't like pulling out of a field and leaving mud turds for a half mile.
Yeah,
I just don't like to do that. You do that, you know you're not doing your ground any good.
Really?
Well, yeah, it's compaction. I don't know. The guys that do it every year, and that's just what it is. And they can do whatever they want because it's free country, and they pay their bills, and I pay mine.
Yeah.
But year in and year out, I've told many people this, year in and year out, even if Mother Nature affords you a time to plant in early April, my best even beans generally are planted April 20th to May 10th.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's just because it's getting warmer outside. Shit wants to grow, and it grows.
Mm-hmm.
And so, therefore, I don't really get in a big hurry. And then always my best corn is always May 10th and
mm-hmm.
beyond.
Mm-hmm.
So, oh, I made a big decision this week, didn't I?
Oh, you did. Yes, you did.
Like a huge one. So, anybody that can push a pencil knows that growing yellow corn is it's going to be tough this year. If you have an average yield, it's going to be tough to make much money. You might make a little bit, and every farm is just a little bit different. But, you know, we don't have $6 and $7 corn like we did. So, as I'm sitting here pushing the pencil, I'm like, man, I don't want to do this for $25, $50 bucks an acre, you know, just to try to net that. I want to make more than that. I started noticing we have a unique little niche right here where I'm at. And it's not nationwide by any stretch. We raise a lot of white corn around here. There's a place that mills white corn down by Evansville, Indiana, called Azteca Milling. And they contract out acres of white corn. Well, whenever they did that, I don't know why, ADM and, well, I think I do know why, ADM, Visarian down at Shawneetown, some other local elevators around here started buying white corn as well. And I think the reason they do it is because they turn right around and sell it to Azteca.
Mm-hmm.
But, and maybe some of it gets on a barge and goes to an export market. I really don't know. Don't really care. Well, the basis for new crop January delivery white corn down at Visarian and Shawneetown is plus 85. By the time you couple that with a 495 futures price, you're looking at like 580 corn for January delivery. I dropped yellow corn this year. Made some phone calls, made sure my seed vendors could get me white seed corn. And it's Roundup ready, it's BT, it's everything yellow corn is, just white. And I dropped all yellow corn, and I'm planting all white corn this year. So a couple little different things with white corn is dry is 14.5% instead of 15. And stress cracks are an issue depending on where you haul it to. I know one place you can haul it to, so treat it like yellow corn. Dry the hell out of it and bring it to us. We don't care about stress crack. Another place, they care about them. But whatever. I'm doing that. So just sold some new crop white corn for January delivery for $5.80. I was jacked.
That's cool.
Compared to the $4.50 I would get local, you know, mm-hmm, for mm-hmm. yellow corn. So did that. Try to pad the bottom line a little bit. Some okay. people say there's a little yield drag associated with white corn. Farmers I've talked to who plant it regularly anymore, they don't say there is.
Mm-hmm.
They say they've got that stuff bred up. Pioneer's got some excellent white corn varieties. So does DeKalb. So that's what I'm going to plant. We're going to try her out. I've planted white corn in the past, so I have some experience with it. And I didn't see a huge yield drag back when I did it. And that was 4 or 5 years ago. So we'll see what happens.
Okay.
Yeah. Kind of wild.
Yeah.
But you do what you got to do. If you don't like the amount of money you're making or not making, you got to do some changing.
Yeah.
Right. So what else we got going on?
We got a new roof.
We did get a new roof.
Yeah.
I think we told you guys in the past, like, what was it, a month ago, that we've got some pretty bad thunderstorms through here, and it's just played hell with our roof.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah, you get a new roof and furniture and... Got to get the pool open, make sure everything's okay there, because, I mean, you always get damage. You never know, really, until you start messing with things. So,
you know, speaking of thunderstorms and rain, something I noticed yesterday whenever I was spraying at Edwards County, you know, whenever you're spraying and you're going around the outside of some of these fields, and, you know, if the field has a hill on them, you can see the washout spots and things like that. It obviously has not rained. I'm not going to say the same amount, but how hard and fast it has came has not been as much this year as what it has in the past.
Really?
I don't have near as many big gullies.
Hmm.
I don't feel like we're behind on rainfall.
Yeah. Maybe they stopped seeding all the clouds.
Oh, Lord. I don't know. I don't know what's, I don't have any idea what cloud seeding is. I would have to look, I would have to look more into it to try to get some sort of opinion.
Yeah. Okay.
But I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I took a trip down to Carmi since our last podcast.
What's in Carmi?
They're putting up a, I think they had planned 4,000 acres. I think it's a 1,500 acre solar farm down there.
Oh, you went down there to check it out? Mm-hmm. Are they building it right now or is it operational?
Yeah, it's in construction phase. Yeah.
Is it beautiful?
No.
No?
Mm-mm. There's this lady I talked to, and I won't share her name because I didn't ask permission or anything, but this lady, she bought, they bought their house, her and her husband bought their house 3.5 years ago, and
out in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah. And yeah, on a country road, just like we're sitting. And there, she's got neighbors, you know, within a quarter of a mile or so. And she didn't know that solar panels were coming in. They didn't know. And a year after they were there, they started construction on solar panels. And the realtor that sold them the house has passed away since then. So I don't mean to laugh, but I'm just like, it's just a crazy situation. Like, she should have known. And The solar company allegedly has went to all of the neighbors and asked them to sign a good neighbor agreement.
A good neighbor agreement. Mm-hmm. Now, what is that?
For $1,000 a year, please sign our good neighbor agreement saying that you're not going to talk bad about us. You're not going to cause any problems for our company. And let us do what we're going to do.
You know what that sounds like?
What?
Hush money.
Mm, yeah. Like a gag order?
A gag order, a hush money. Excuse me.
Yeah.
You don't say anything.
Yeah.
The only things you can say is positive things about solar panels. Sorry.
Yeah.
Who wouldn't have a right mind would sign that?
Yeah, no. Mm-mm. So they're moving dirt, and it's a loud process. I was there for a lot of it. It totally ruins the landscape right there. And yep. They've got, you know, mall cops driving around, little S-10s.
Mall cops?
Yeah.
Rent-a-cops?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. I've heard some crazy stories. So here's one crazy story, and you guys can do your own research or whatever, but this is the story that I heard. And there was a grandpa, we'll call him granddaddy. Granddaddy leased his ground. You know, you're getting $900 an acre a year for the next 30 years. Your family's set up, right? So grandson goes down to hunt the wooded area that's not touched by the solar farm. Solar farm finds out that grandson is on this property and he gets ran off by the solar farm. He's like, wait, my granddaddy owns this property. I can hunt here because he gave me permission. They said no, and if you come back, we will press charges against you. We own the rights to this ground right now, and you have no right to be here.
Hmm.
So it's kind of sad. You know,
right.
Cause that, you know, and hunting is a hobby that's so healthy for any kid.
I agree.
And
I don't hunt, but I agree with that statement.
I mean, and I think, I don't know if it was bow hunting or shotgun or whatever, but I mean, it's just really unfortunate that, you know, that property is no longer available to the grandkid, you know?
Yeah.
So, anyways,
yeah. All things that need to be considered whenever you're signing your property away to these people.
Mm-hmm. And something I didn't realize, your Uncle Herman was talking to us the other day, and he said what was in the lease is
that they sent our family.
Yes, yes, yeah. Your family, the Peter family. You sign your water rights and your mineral rights away forever. Like, you'll never, if you go to sell that ground, you can't sell the water rights or the mineral rights because the solar company owns that from here forever.
See, if anybody signed that, with that stipulation in there, in my opinion, it's very foolish. And foolish.
There is a lot of people who don't understand water rights and mineral rights. Can you give us like a dumbed down version of what, or just like a general synopsis of what it means or what that even is?
Well, the water rights, I'm not sure what that is. I know that whenever they put these things up, they can't obstruct the natural flow of water.
Uh-huh.
You know? Because the research I did there a couple of weeks ago online, there has been some massive payouts of people who sued solar companies and won because their solar farm that was adjacent to their property or whatever obstructed the flow of water and caused massive amounts of damage to their property. So I know you can't do that, but I mean that it's solar panel or solar farm or not, you can't do that. You can't obstruct the natural flow of water.
Mm-hmm.
okay, and force a bunch of water on your neighbor. You're not supposed to be able to. I mean, we've all heard stories as farmers about other farmers who do things like that. But in that regard, I don't know about the water. The minerals.
What about water wells?
Now, see that part? I don't understand. I didn't know that you had to lease ground to drill a water well on, but that doesn't mean anything
either.
Well,
typically, if you have a water well, you're going to own the property that you have the well on.
Well, yeah, right? Yeah, exactly.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay. So if this water well, or if you want to get groundwater because you know that there's like a natural spring under there or something, whatever, you have no right to that anymore. Or you can't access it anymore anyways.
Yeah,
you
know, I don't know.
For the rest of its life.
For minerals is the one, that's the question I have. Minerals, like oil.
Oil or what? Coal?
It depends on how you want to extract the coal. Obviously, it's a strip mine.
The coal company will come in and take eminent domain or what?
Not eminent domain. It's do you own the minerals? Did you lease them at some point in your life? Okay, take for example, our oil company, okay?
Mm-hmm.
We have oil wells. The oil wells are on other people's property.
Mm-hmm.
All right? So this guy, let's just, we'll say Joe Blow over there. I have an oil well, the Joe Blow number one, and it produces oil every single day. And Joe Blow, who owns the ground, leases his ground. Even though I've got an oil well right there that's producing, he leases his surface to a solar company.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the solar company comes in. They put up all kinds of solar panels, things like that, all the way around my oil well. I mean, obviously, I still got a way to get into my oil well and service it. I was there first. But even though I have one oil well on this 80-acre tract, I could drill 7 more oil wells out there. I just haven't done it yet because market conditions haven't been good enough for it to be financially worth it to go after it and drill another one. But now let's say the oil goes to $200 a barrel. I want to go drill another oil well on the property, on that 80 acres. I already own those minerals. I leased them. I don't own them. I leased them.
Mm-hmm.
They are mine. I have the right to go get it according to my lease that we signed 15 years ago. But now there's solar panels everywhere. In order for me to drill an oil well, I need an area of, I'm just going to say an acre, just for easy figuring. How does that work? How does that work? Do I just take my bulldozer out there? I know this is not the answer. Take your bulldozer out there and push the damn solar panels up in a pile.
Mm-hmm. So there was an oil producer in Carmi who had active oil wells on property that the farmer had leased or the landowner had leased. Okay. And he stuck it out. He's like, no, I am going to drill another well here. You can't come on here. And the solar company came anyway.
Yeah.
And he's got these two wells, and he's like, well, I'm going to drill. And they're like, no, you're not. And he said, yes, I am. Watch me. I have the rights. And the solar company eventually paid him off. I mean, they go back and forth for 2 years, the last 2 years, and then he eventually just gave up. And I think he's an older gentleman maybe, and he gave up, and they paid him off to plug those wells.
Right.
So, I mean, that's how that ended.
Well, then that's the way, that was the capitalistic way to get rid of the oil producer.
The problem.
Right. if the, you know, and I'm telling you guys, I'm telling you with absolute certainty, these solar companies are not paying enough per acre for what they're trying to do. Because I don't know if you heard Jess and I's happy hour, and I can't remember exactly everything we discussed that evening, but if this guy says that an acre of solar panels is going to produce $18,000 a year worth of electric revenue, gross revenue,
mm-hmm.
and they're only giving you $1,000, that is a joke. That is an absolute joke. And the solar company will come back and they're going to say, well, we have to invest in all the infrastructure. We have to invest in the solar panels themselves. None of that is free. Well, and in return, I say, well, whenever I farm the ground, I have to invest in a combine, a planter, a tractor. I buy the seed. And depending on the rental arrangement, they might pay for half the seed. They might not. I have to invest in a bunch of shit too. And I still have to give 40% away to my landowner, mm-hmm. or sometimes 50%, sometimes just a third. You get my drift. But I'm giving away up to, you know, maybe up to half, as low as 33% to a landowner for that same acre. as to where these guys are just going to give you $1,000 out of the $18,000, and I'm sure they produce more than $18,000 worth of money worth of gross revenue per year.
Right, we're assuming they're lying whenever they say $16,000.
Yeah, double it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so yeah. It's probably like closer to 36.
Yeah.
You know, if I'm going to drill an oil well on your ground, I'm the guy that's going to pay for the drilling. I'm going to pay for the drilling mud. I'm going to pay for the logging. I'm going to pay for the casing, the rods, the tubing, the pump jack, the tanks, everything. I'm going to pay for it all. But you're still going to get 12.5% of whatever I pull out. So as a percentage, in my opinion, these guys ain't even close. For the money they're going to make on your ground, they're not even close.
Yeah, yeah. So listen to this, though, and I've already told you this, but I'll share with our listeners. I was in Williamson County yesterday, so my youngest sister is pregnant, and so
which is around Marion.
Yes, and I was going to say that, but so I went to Vianna, then I stopped in Marion, and then so I was in Williamson County, and I have a real close girlfriend, and so her parents live an acre away, so we walked, you know, took the back path, and went to their house, and she said that every week they get something in the mail about leasing their ground, tillable acreage, okay? And they've got 40 acres that they're interested in. These solar companies are interested in leasing their 40 acres. They got their first offer in the mail last week or within the last 2 weeks, and they offered to buy their property for guess how much?
$10,000 an acre.
Not even close.
Okay.
$1,200.
$1,200 per acre.
Per acre.
There are people signing leases for more than that around here per year.
Per year for 30 years.
Yeah. And they want to,
And they want to purchase their property for, it was like $50,000 or something crazy.
Yeah.
Like, what? That's unheard of.
Unbelievable.
What a slap in the face to the landowner, you know? And that's what I told them.
Yeah.
I'm like, are you kidding me? Even like, hay pasture ground doesn't even go that low.
No, what? No, exactly.
I think 20 years ago, my dad, I think it was like $2,000 an acre for pasture ground, you know?
Right.
20 years ago.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Whatever.
Yep. I don't know. It just seems to me like these guys ain't paying enough for what they're going to make off your ground. But, and, you know, and we have a piece of property that it sounds like they need to get a line ran across to get power moved from a solar farm that they're going to have west of me. They need to come across my ground to get to the grid, to wherever they need to go. Mm-hmm. And they ask for an easement. I'm not giving an easement. I'm not doing it. You ain't coming on my property. I don't trust you guys. I mean, you might be really good people. I don't know, but I don't trust lawyers. And if I ever have a problem, you guys have a hell of a lot more money than I do, and I would never be able to defend myself. So you want my ground, you can buy it. I'll sell it to you for $200,000 an acre. Yeah, and then you don't have to worry about me. Just kind of like they did with that oil producer down in Carmi. Mm-hmm. You can buy your way out of the problem, and you're done.
Right.
But if you don't want to buy it, stay off my ground and don't approach me again about it. End of story. You know, something else that was funny is I was listening to our local radio station out of Mount Carmel here this past week, and they did the update on what the city council talked a little bit about. And one of the things that they talked about was people who in town don't want to mow their grass. You know what I mean?
No, I don't know what you mean. I don't know why anybody wouldn't want to just take the pride and just, it's instant gratification mowing and trimming your lawn.
Sure.
Yeah, that's my view. But, like, so no, you know, I don't understand.
We go through the country and you always see this house that like they mow their lawn like maybe twice a year.
Yes.
And
yes.
It just looks horrible.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Well, I guess there's people in town that does the same thing. And you know, if you live right beside one of these people, you probably don't. And you know, take pride in your place and try to keep your landscaping up a little bit, keep your yard mowed things. And your neighbors over there just look like a freaking, you know,
jungle. Yeah.
Looks like a jungle, a freaking hay farm. Well, the city, I guess, has said it is May the 1st. You should have mowed your lawn at least once by now. So we're just telling you, get out there and mow your lawn, because if we drive by it and it's a jungle, we're going to come mow it for you and we will send you a bill. Okay. So I find this funny and why, and I understand why, but I find it funny. Why would the city not like, I mean, it's a person's private property.
It's unsightly.
Yeah.
But it's unsightly. Nobody wants to look at it, and it makes the city look bad.
Really? It's unsightly.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So what you did is you just made an argument that sight, your sense of sight, is important. Mm-hmm. And it can be your right to a nice view, if you will, can be infringed upon.
Sure can.
So if this works for grass growing in Mount Carmel, why does it not work for solar panels around our houses?
Well,
take for instance the people down in Carmi,
mm-hmm.
where they're getting it 360 degrees around their house.
Yeah.
Why? Why is it that sight doesn't matter in this case?
Mm-hmm. It's a great point.
So,
and you know, I feel so sorry for them because they can't even give it away now.
Yeah, now if they wanted to sell, who the hell wants to buy it?
Nobody wants to buy it. The solar company won't purchase their home either.
Of course not.
So, and they did early on for a low ball number, like not even close to what they purchased their property for. So if you look out to the north of their house, you've got hills and valleys and tree lines. Beautiful. And she said it was a lot more beautiful before they cleared a bunch of trees. I'm like, that's interesting. And then behind their house, so south of their house, it's like a valley. Just beautiful. I could imagine it in the fall, just standing up there on this hill that they live on. And it's a small hill like ours. You know, you can see for miles and miles. And now they just see for miles just nothing but steel beams. And eventually they're going to set these panels. I think they started setting, she told me this week, they started setting them. And that's, yeah. Anyway, it's just a sad thing because our landscape is huge in where you choose to have a family, raise your family, and what you look out of your window every day.
Make the biggest investment most mm-hmm. people make in their life. That would be building a house.
People pay for beautiful views. Mm-hmm. You know, they pay top dollar for beautiful views, and they make that decision based off of what they're going to look out their window, you know, sometimes. Yep. So, or you build a house based on what your view can be.
Just like we did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, anyways, it just makes me sad. We're going to attend. There's a county board meeting here in Wabash County on Monday, and we'll be attending that because I have some questions. There's some things that this, the CEO of the solar company, didn't answer, and they told me that they were going to send me some stuff in the mail, and then they also said that he would get back with me on some, and I haven't heard back from them. So in our ordinance, in our county ordinance, there's some things that it just does not address that the CEO was talking about, so I want to get some clarification mm-hmm. from our board and what our, and it really has to do with the protection of us being right here where we're located in the center of this stuff.
Yeah.
And there's, you know, they had this agreement that this place was a rejected area, you know, for panels, but there's nothing saying that they can't put a substation right next to us. So I want, you know, that sort of clarification.
Right.
You know, and what's the purpose? What are their options, you know, right next to the house?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, and then if this ends up like a strip mine does, like the one that was just down the road from our, well, it still is down the road from our house. Mm-hmm. The people who start it are not the people who end up with it.
Right, right.
Because the people who start it go broke, and then they go bankrupt, and then somebody buys the bankruptcy, and then they go broke.
Okay, so here's what happened down in Carmi, and this is all just hearsay, okay? So this company is called Inva Energy or something like that. They're out of St. Louis. The same. It's very similar to the company that will be around here. They're out of St. Louis. They have sold to Ameren. And now this energy that is being produced right here in Carmi or White County, right there, is being shipped down to Texas. All of that energy is being sent down to the grid in Texas.
I don't have any idea.
Well, So that's interesting. It doesn't go back to the county.
I don't know.
Anyway, if anybody knows any different, let me know. But that was what I have been told.
Yeah.
So, interesting.
Yep. I don't know. I'm not jacked about it. I wish they would pack their shit and get out of here, but it ain't going to happen. The tentacles that are paying these bills are deep. I'm telling you, they're deep. And it's politics. You know, whenever over half of the project is paid for by taxes, it's like, good grief.
It doesn't make any sense. But what I've learned... in all of my solar research is that solar power is a religion. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
People who believe in it are going to die for it. And I'm not kidding when I say that.
Well, that's like global warming. It all goes hand in hand.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely. And I'm not going to be fooled by it.
No, exactly. Okay? Oh, yeah.
So I've asked God for discernment in the last 4 years of my life, for real discernment and wisdom. And, you know, you just gather information until you can make a common sense judgment. Okay. So here I am asking for discernment and I'm like, wait a second, but the people that talk about solar panels and solar farms, it is a religion. These people are grounded in this ideology of solar energy. So
yeah,
it's wild.
You know, another thing about solar, I don't think that we spoke about this earlier, that I found interesting is I got a really, really good friend that has oil production down there and around Carmi, where one of these humongous, humongous farms went in. And he told me since they put that farm in, like his oil wells, his tank batteries continuously struck by lightning. So like what? Now, wait a second. Why? Mm-hmm. Why? And the only thing he can think is those solar panels are so damn grounded that lightning doesn't strike there. And for some reason it goes to whatever else is there, which here's what I'm thinking. We have this humongous flagpole in our backyard.
Oh, shoot.
We're going to be buying new refrigerators and TVs. And I mean,
you think,
oh yeah. If that's what's causing it. Yeah. Cause he said that he thinks he got it under control, but I think he spent like $50,000 to get it back under control.
Really?
Because it happened multiple times. Yeah. So he had to continually buy new shit. And then finally after the fourth time, I think he was like, all right, we got to figure out what we can do. If we just have to accept that we're going to get struck by lightning,
what else can we do?
We need to figure out how to make it not hurt so bad.
Right.
So that's what he ended up having to do.
So does home insurance cover lightning strikes?
I don't know what kind of insurance he has on his production.
I'm just saying, we're here, yeah.
Yeah, it should.
And I know that this is like hypothetical, like what if, but.
Well, I mean, and I believe everything he just said, because his dad owned these oil properties before he bought them off his dad for 20 or 25 years, never got struck once. Mm. But the second those solar panels came in, I guess got the hell struck out of them all the time.
Really?
Yeah.
Mm.
So.
It's interesting. And also, there is radiation that's emitted whenever they're put into the ground. And I sound like a cuckoo off of Cuckoo Crazy Birds. I get it. Like I said, I realize that, okay? So it's cuckoo for Cuckoo Birds, Jessica, here, okay? Telling you honest reviews of how I'm feeling and protecting my family. It is a proven fact that radiation is emitted from these panels as they're going into the ground and then once they turn online. Okay?
Really?
Yes. It is a thing. Okay?
This would be why you bought the Geiger meter?
Yes. I purchased one on Amazon. So, because you can't, and when I told Ryan that, I said, here's the thing. It is, and they say that it's not harmful. So they say, yes, radiation is emitted from these things when they go in the ground and then whenever they turn online. Just a small amount, though. Tiny amount. It's not going to hurt you. Okay? Not going to hurt you. So when I came home and I told Ryan this, I said, we need to figure out how we can we read it? Because you can't see it. Like CO2? Is it CO2?
Right on.
Carbon monoxide.
Yeah, it's carbon monoxide. Yeah. Or, of course, radon's the same thing.
So, and Ryan's like, yeah, we would have to move if it gets that bad. Like, for real. Like, we would. So, I bought the counter, and I've been reading, and it's been ticking, and then it just clicks and ticks.
And you're writing down and making videos of how much radiation is around. It's hilarious, folks, because right when she got it, Lord. She was walking around everything around.
Well,
here.
I wanted to see if anything was radioactive. It would kind of be cool if it kind of went off the rail, you know, and went, you know, and made all the
But you can't noises. Find anything radioactive
no,
around
can't
here,
find
right?
it. No.
Or she's walking around farm equipment, holding it next to it, walking around oil field equipment. Is there any radiation here?
Yeah. No, well, because and you told me this, is that the things that are down below the earth, you know, can be radioactive.
Yeah, like pipe and rods and things like that from oil field. Yeah,
right.
There could be some radioactive. I mean, yes, that's legit.
Yeah.
It's legit.
So I went over by the rods or whatever they're called. Is that what they're called?
Yeah, rods.
Rods, yeah. And I was making sure that they're okay to touch because I mow by them. You know? So they were fine. I sound like a crazy person.
It was hilarious.
With a tinfoil hat.
She's just walking around just Geiger counting everything.
I know. I know I sound crazy. And here's the thing. If there were more people that live in the middle of nowhere that this was affecting, if there were more people, then it would be a bigger conversation. But there are so little of us in our position right here, it doesn't affect very many people.
Right.
So our voices are very small. And here's another thing that should really scare the absolute living you know what out of every single one of you. When you go online to do research about solar, there is nothing negative about it online.
No negative stories.
Zero.
Yeah, the cynical part of me says that's weird.
Absolutely.
You know?
Like, there's
got to be something.
There's pros and cons to everything. There's pros and cons to Botox. There's pros and cons to being outside in the sun. You know?
There's pros and cons to everything. How come there's no cons with solar? That's a good point. That's a very good point.
So
I don't think you're crazy for that.
Like, people should be like, oh, that should raise my antenna. But it doesn't raise anybody's antenna because guess what? Again, solar is a religion, okay?
And Google controls that religion.
Holy
macaroni. For the information you get.
Yeah, exactly. So I've been on Brave and I've been on DuckDuckGo and doing some other stuff. And you really cannot find very much information negatively. I mean, people are like, yeah, what's the dark side of solar? Well, they're unsightly and you may have to replace them. Like, come on. Give me the real negatives of solar panels. For real.
True.
So true. It's very odd. Very odd. So anyways, here I am with my tinfoil hat. I will be proudly sitting here on Wabash 12 with my hat on. And I'm just learning about this stuff. So,
right.
And, you know, sheep are down in Enfield now.
Oh, my gosh. That is the truth.
They've delivered sheep down to Enfield to manage the grass and stuff. So
the official petroleum geologist of the Bushels and Barrels program, Mr. Ross Bassnett, told me on the phone last week. He's like, dude. He's like, I drove past this solar farm. He goes, and something caught my eye. He's like, I kind of looked at it, and then I had to do a double take. He's like, there's freaking goats everywhere out there.
Are they goats or are they sheep?
He called them goats.
Okay.
But I don't
know. They could
know.
Be either
or. Either war, yeah. Yeah.
So here's how they can get away with livestock management and not abiding by those rules. You ready?
Yeah, go ahead.
And my brother-in-law, Bo Bramlett, who's no BS meats down in Pope County, told me this last night. He said they do not have to abide by this because they're not considered livestock. They're called ground maintenance.
Ground maintenance. Mm-hmm. Okay. Cool. Cool. Well, I'm going to start a coyote farm right beside them. And I'm going to call it smell maintenance.
So now you see these exceptions being made for these certain companies. Like, it doesn't make, it makes absolutely no sense. So I want to make sure that we're not going to have a goat farm.
Across the road from our house. Yeah. Yes.
And, you know, coyotes can pick off cats, children, anything.
You remember when we started this podcast like 2 years ago?
No.
I do.
I'm kidding. It seems like
yesterday. I never ever dreamed we would ever be talking about this, much less right across the road from the house.
Right.
Like, never in my life would I dream in a million years.
I have, and let me reiterate,
across the road from my house would be a
there is nothing wrong
farm.
With people doing whatever they want to do with their property, okay? But it's classified as farm ground today. And that's what you think that it's going to be forever, unless somebody built a home there, then it's a homestead, you know, whatever, they have the right to do that. Never in a million years would you think farmland is going to have nothing but glass panels all around it.
So that all being said, this is where I stand. Are you ready?
Yeah, sure.
I stand with the guy in Mount Carmel that doesn't want to mow his lawn. I do. If you don't want to mow your lawn, you don't have to. And your neighbor just has to put up with it.
Because it's his ground.
Damn right.
And he can do
private
whatever
property
he wants
rights.
To do. Yep. All right. I see. I see.
And if the city comes and mows the damn lawn and sends them, don't pay the son of a bitch because I didn't hire you to do it to begin
well,
with.
Well, is that considered a dictatorship?
I don't know what the hell it is. It's not the America I grew up in.
What? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, back in the America we grew up in, people actually took pride in what they were doing in their lawn. Exactly. So that's weird. Anyway, unheard of. Pride, what's that? No, I have no problem with somebody wanting to lease their ground to solar farms. The reason why it's so big to me is because it affects me. And so it affects my family.
Yeah,
so me as Mama Goose, I'm like doing my research. I'm just doing all these things. And anybody else in the same position that we are in would be doing the same thing.
Would do the same thing, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because they think for themselves.
Yep.
They're not just told what they, you know, should think and whatever.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm done on the solar. Gets my blood pressure.
All right. All right. Wonder if Mike Lindell sells anything for solar.
Ooh.
What? How could he cabbage onto something and ultimately we make some money off of it by helping him sell it? Sunglasses? my pillow sunglasses, maybe?
I don't know. They sure do make some really good shoes with good soles on them.
I know. I need another pair because I can never find mine anymore.
Well, I always have them on.
Yeah.
I'm going back and forth between yours and mine.
Yeah. Yeah. Get to my pillow. You guys know the drill. Promo code Hello Jessica. Get you up to 50% off the things you want to buy. And they have great, great, great merchandise. All the way down to doggy beds. Like, treat your dog to the best. Get him a MyPillow doggy bed. Is there anything with cats there? Like,
oh, I'm sure.
MyPillow scratching posts?
Oh, maybe. If they don't, we just gave them an idea.
Exactly. Well, you know what to do.
Made out of Giza cotton.
That's right. Exactly. Exactly. You guys know what to do. Go to MyPillow.com right now to save a hell of a lot of money using the promo code HelloJessica. As the jingle goes.
For the best night's sleep in the whole wide world, visit MyPillow.com.
I like that.
Do you?
Yeah.
Nice.
That's good, Dad.
You know this song?
I don't think so.
Oh, it's a good one.
Maybe.
The band is Bush.
Yeah.
The song is called Come Down. It's a good tune. From, like, reminds me of college.
Okay.
So,
yeah.
Going back to the late 90s, early 2000s here. But anyway, moving along in the show here, we got a big guest here coming on here. Going to get him on the phone. His name is Chris Larson. You might remember him from last December, mm-hmm. whenever David Schultz went missing, the Iowa trucker. Well, they found him.
And we've had, I don't know, maybe 15, 20 emails just updating us on the missing trucker, letting us know that he had been found.
Yeah.
So we appreciate all that. I just don't have
and
time of the day to respond.
The fact they found him and where they found him, in my book, leads to so damn many more questions. So we're going to get Chris in here. He's the boots on the ground in the real world up there. Get him on here, and we'll discuss what he knows that's actually going on. I think there's a lot of rumors going around, too, of things that I don't know is true or not, but I'm sure he could clear some of that up. But I'm going to do that. I don't have very many stories. Did you hear about the Donald Trump ad that Google would not let play?
No.
It was...
Just, was it a video or was it...
Yeah, it's a video. It, they say that it was tailored to Georgia black voters, and Google took it down and said, no, we're not going to let you play that.
What?
They're trying to say it was something racist, and it's not. So therefore, I went and I got it, and let's listen to it. You want to hear it? This is the Vote for Trump video.
Hello, I'm with the Biden campaign.
Yeah, I voted for Biden last time.
That's fantastic.
Is it? Everything costs more. Food, gas, rent.
Okay, but Biden's helping pay rent for newcomers to America from around the world.
You mean illegal immigrants? I'm struggling to pay my bills, but Biden's paying rent for illegals? They get handouts and I'm paying for it.
But Biden can still count on your vote, right?
Things were better before Biden. I'm voting for Trump.
Make America Great Again, Inc. is responsible for the content of this advertising.
How bad was that? Was that awful? To me, it was just nothing but the truth.
I mean, common sense stuff. Like, what?
Did you get the feeling they were targeting black people there?
No.
I didn't either. I got the feeling they were targeting everyday people. Americans.
Hey, me.
Yeah.
Me.
Yeah, I mean, You go to Walmart now, you spend $150, and you come out of here with a box of crackers. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's basically where we're at these days.
Maybe two box of crackers, but that's two? It.
Two, okay.
Yeah.
But nothing to dip them in or smear on them, right? Yeah, exactly.
That's why I go to Aldi.
It's Biden's America here.
Yeah.
But I don't know. They try to interject race into everything, and it just irritates the shit out of me because there's nothing racial about that.
And everybody knows that. Everybody knows that.
Well, and then Google, you know.
So if they came out and you know, so they were saying this is racist because this is a black guy on the phone.
I guess. How do you know he was a black guy? Could you tell by his dialect?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, just a little bit. I mean, but that's nothing. That is not a racist statement. It is what it is.
Right.
You know?
Right.
It is what it is.
I agree.
And it's totally fine. Do you know, you know what I mean? I'm going to, so for my people who listen to Christian sermons and preachers and anything, anyway, Jesse Duplantis is a preacher. He's evangelical preacher or something. Now, early in my adulthood, so I was, you know, 18, 19, 20, I was given CDs of Jesse Duplantis, and I would listen to him hours on end, and he's from Louisiana. For years, I thought he was a black man, okay? Because he had a Louisiana accent, and he spoke kind of Cajun and
right.
Louisianan. I don't know how else to
But you had never seen his face before.
But I'd never seen his face, okay? I didn't watch him on TV. I just listened to CDs on repeat, you know, and different ones. And so I was telling my mom, I said, you know, I've been listening to this preacher, Jesse Duplantis, and he is the funniest guy. And I must have said something about his race. And my mom looked at me like I had three heads. She's like, Jesse Duplantis is white. And I said, there's no way. She's like, yeah, he's a short white man. I said, there's no way, Mom. Listen to the way he talks. And she said, Jessica, I've been listening to Jesse for years, you know, and she knew who he was. And I'm like, this is a joke. So, of course, I Googled him with my smartphone and figured out he's a short white man.
Oh, yeah.
A white preacher.
Yeah, yeah.
And, but the way he spoke, you know, just gave me the impression in your imagination, you know, in my imagination, I imagine him as a black man just because of the way he spoke.
Yeah.
And I don't think that that's racist at all.
No,
I don't. It's just, it's just kind of, it's just the accents, you know,
right.
You can tell somebody's from the South just by the way they speak.
You can certainly tell if somebody's from New England.
Right. Just because of the way they speak. Yeah.
So yeah. Yeah.
I don't think that has anything to do with race.
Yeah, it brings up a funny point, something that I think is hilarious. And you just proved it right here. I like it whenever you hear somebody's voice and let's say that you hear it over and over on the radio and different commercials and things like that. Uh-huh. And you get this just from listening to their voice. You've never seen their face, but you get this image
Of what they're supposed to look like.
Of what they look like. And then the first time you actually get to see them on the internet or on TV, you're like, holy crap, that is not. I thought this guy was like a tall, slender basketball hero type, you know, athletic type.
Right.
This guy's a fat slob.
But
he's got a good voice.
Yeah, Delilah. I've never seen her, but I know I have a view. She's got the '90s haircut, bangs for sure, and I know she's got sandy dark hair or sandy hair.
Yeah, yeah.
But I have no idea what Delilah, and I'm sure I could find out, but I have no idea what she looks like.
Yeah, yeah. Well, used to be, back whenever all the beer companies competed with commercials on TV, there was this one guy for Miller High Life that he was just the speaker on these commercials, and he just had this, I assume that this guy is from, I mean, like Paul Bunyan type guy. The powdered layer on this donut is merely a protection layer. For the Miller man. You know.
Okay.
He would say things like this. And he has this voice. And I'm always like, man, I bet you he's like probably splits wood on the weekends. And I mean, just a tough guy. I got to go look this guy up. I bet he probably looks like a minion. I mean, I don't. Because you just don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so funny. And it's so funny. So what Google is saying is everybody should see this as a racist thing.
Yeah.
When it has nothing to do with race
there you go.
At all.
There you go.
It's just a, you know, we all bleed red.
Yeah.
in my opinion, I don't see color. Here's the problem. The left has created such this race divide.
Yep.
Like it everybody's aware of it now. You know, everybody's aware of it. And you have to like desensitize yourself from what they've made you so sensitive to.
Oh, yeah.
So it's so stupid.
What do you think about all these pro-Hamas protesters on all these college campuses?
I think there's domestic terrorists. I think that's what's
That's exactly happening. What they are, right?
Yeah. I think they're, I think
they're like at Columbia, terrorists. They broke in and took over that building.
Really? I didn't
hear that. Yeah, last week they did.
I'm so sick of hearing that, and I'm disgusted with these universities, which I don't expect anything more from them because they're, anyways, I'm disgusted.
Yeah.
They are promoting a terrorist group in our American universities.
Absolutely. They're building them.
Period. Yeah.
But you know, at the same time, I'm sure there's a lot of, well, and I've seen TikToks of it this past week. A lot of good kids at these universities like, dude, I'm at UCLA. All I want to do is go to class. Mm-hmm. I'm a Jew. I just want to go to class, though. Me going to class has nothing to do with me being a Jew. I just want to get in here, learn, get my diploma, and get out in the real world.
And these universities are going, that's okay. They can do that to you.
Yeah, they can stand in the way of the door. They can heckle you. They can everything that the left has generally taught you, you can't do. Yeah. They're allowing these people to do.
Exactly. I am disgusted.
And then here's what hit me this morning as I was doing show prep. You have all these college students, these whiny ass babies. Mm-hmm. I could have said another word there.
Yeah, I know you're going to. You're getting ready to.
But they sit here and they raise hell. They are pro-terrorist, pro-Hamas. Mm-hmm. And then they want us and going to college to learn this shit. Mm-hmm. And then they want us to bail them out financially. Student debt forgiveness.
Yeah.
What the hell kind of clown circus is this?
That's exactly what it is. It's a clown circus.
So you can go there. You can learn how to be a domestic terrorist. You can protest.
And then they'll stand on the Constitution for their right to peacefully protest a terrorist organization who has no respect for the Constitution.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
The American Constitution, that is. Yeah.
Oh, well, and one of the blurbs I saw was this Hamas guy, LGBTQ for Hamas. Oh. Once again, I've said it before, go over there and try that. Mm-hmm. And you won't tell me how it's going to turn out. You'll come back in a pine box.
Well, even here, I mean, we've got to make the realization that, hey, this is here in America. Hamas is here, right here, right now. And if those LGBT for Hamas, they're not going to stand for that. And they'll find out real fast.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Maybe they're going to let it slide for a few weeks here, but if they get serious and they're like, for real, LGBTQ for Hamas, you know, they're going to find out real fast.
Yeah.
This is not how they roll.
Yeah. And kudos to all you guys in the South that listen to the Bushels and Barrels program, because you guys are obviously raising some good kids, because it looked to me like all the ACC and SEC schools, Ole Miss, mm-hmm. North Carolina, Alabama, a lot of their students were in there in the Hamas guys' faces, like, mm-hmm. we're not going to put up with this. Come out singing the national anthem, you know.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know why this isn't a bigger deal to me. Like, it's just...
What do you mean, on the news?
Let's just report these students, you know, supporting Hamas. Let's just report that they're doing it. Americans should be up in arms going to these universities, storming in there saying, get the heck out of here. We don't stand... No, absolutely not. That is just my opinion.
No, I agree. I totally agree. Did you hear about what the University of Florida, the president of the University of Florida said?
No.
Let me find it.
Okay.
So Ben Sass, the president of the University of Florida, said, at the University of Florida, we have repeatedly, patiently explained two things to protesters. We will always defend your rights to free speech and free assembly. But if you cross the line on clearly prohibited activities, you will be thrown off campus and suspended. In Gainesville, that means a 3-year probation from campus. That's serious. We said it. We meant it. We enforced it. We wish we didn't have to, but the students weighed the costs, made their decisions, and will own the consequences as adults. We're a university, not a daycare. We don't coddle emotions. We wrestle with ideas.
Ben Sass for president.
And yeah, drop the mic and walk away.
Exactly.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, dude. Well, you want to see if we can get old Chris Larson on the phone here?
Yeah, that sounds
great.
Let's
do it. We'll talk about David Schultz.
Okay.
All right, we found him. Chris Larson, welcome back to the Bushels and Barrels program.
Thanks, man. How you guys been doing?
We're hanging out here and just slugging our way through spring, waiting to get in the field. I know you guys have probably been in the field a little bit. There's a lot of guys around here that's been in the field, but just, I don't know, it just seems like about the time it gets to where I'm comfortable working some ground, we get a quarter inch of rain.
Oh, yeah, that's most definite. I think in the last week and a half, I think it hasn't rained maybe two or three days where the wind hasn't been blowing. It's been crazy. It's
right.
A lot of rain, a lot of wind. But I seen yesterday after they got a little bit of sun, we've got some beans and corn already popping up. So
do you? Good deal.
Nice.
Good to see that. Yeah.
Yep. Good deal. Good deal. So big news in your area. Confusing news in your area. They found David Schultz.
Yeah, they found him, what was it, April 24th, I think it was.
Okay.
Around, like, I think it was anywhere between 1 and 3.
Okay.
How did they
find him? What happened? I mean, now that the rumors have settled down, maybe we can get some factual information here, and that's kind of what I'm leaning on you for. What exactly happened April 24th?
Yeah, so from my understanding, farmer was just out there tilling his ground, getting ready to plant like the rest of us, and I guess he just stumbled upon a body, and it is pretty wicked. I mean, I'd say where David was found was probably less than, I'd say between a quarter of a mile and a half a mile south of where his truck was found, and only the body was probably only 20, 30 yards away from the road out in the field.
Good grief.
That's like really close. That's really close.
Really close to where the truck was found.
Yeah. So when I got the news, I kind of drove over there and just kind of seen what was going on. And when you went south to where they found his body, just south of where the truck was found at that intersection, you could see a spot in the field that hadn't been tilled. And I'm guessing, and from what I understood, that's where his body was. And I mean, you could see it clear as day from the road.
Okay.
So it's pretty crazy because it was only, I'd say it was only a couple hundred yards from where all the fire departments and the sheriff's department stationed our base for when we did those original searches.
And you were there for the original searches back. It was the week of Thanksgiving and you were there for the original searches.
So the first day it was, just the sheriff's department. They brought the DOT plane over with the thermal imager and some drones. And then the fire departments got involved the next day. And then the day of Thanksgiving also.
And your local volunteer firefighter.
Yep. Yeah. Right there. Yep. I live around 8 miles from where all this has happened. So it's pretty close.
Yeah, that's pretty close.
It's a hop, skip, and a jump.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. So... I don't mean to be, kind of a butthole here, but how the hell did you miss him?
I don't think we did, honestly. I don't think he was there. We had drones. We had side-by-sides. That was within our first day. I think we searched a mile radius, then we extended out to 2 and then to 3. I don't think he was there for us to miss him at that time. And, you see some scuttlebutt on Facebook, and there's a whole Facebook page about this, and I'm sure you guys might have seen it. It's just all speculation, but the guy. So I mean, this was right in front of a guy's house is where David's body was found. I mean, no more than 20, 30 yards from his front step, across the highway.
And really,
from my understanding, the night before David's body was found, this guy's dogs were going nuts, barking and whatnot. So I don't think he was there. I mean, even the first day, I think the DOT plane would have seen a body laying out in the middle of an open field that, crops are out.
And there was no snow on the ground during your initial search then, was there?
Nope. no snow. And, you know, a lot of people, they, well, you know, maybe he had a medical emergency. Okay, well, he would have either walked straight south on the highway or he would have tried to make a V-line for Sac. Well, neither one of them add up because he still ended up 30 yards out in the middle of the field from the highway. So it's hard saying what's going on, and it's really confusing.
So was his body, and I don't mean to be disrespectful when I say this, but was he decomposed?
So, and I was just telling Ryan, I was just kind of going over, rewatching that video that the news conference or whatever, because they said, Sarah said they identified him, his claimed it was him by the boots he was wearing, because I guess he bought two sets of boots from this place that was going out of business that he liked, and Sarah gave one of the other new ones to the sheriff's department to identify. And then she said they identified him by the keys in his pocket. Must have been some house keys or something.
Okay.
But it's just too weird because they Sarah said that they said that she wouldn't recognize him, which I could get. But if he had been out there for, what are we, since Thanksgiving?
There'd be nothing left.
Out in the middle of a vulture, eagles, coyotes. I mean, the other day I even watched a possum run off with a dead raccoon.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Yeah.
So
This is way weird.
There's a little more to the story than what
now
being portrayed.
What's the sheriff up there in Sac County? What's he saying about this situation? Is he suspecting foul play? I mean, because of these questions that normal people with common sense ask, or what's going on up there now?
Well, see, that's another thing that's really weird, and I can see it from the sheriff's department side. The only thing they've put out is they reposted a Facebook deal from the Iowa DCI saying it was his. But I think they're being hush-lipped. Maybe they know a little more, you know, maybe they did find something and they're on a clue and just don't want everybody else to know. Cause I mean, you know, once somebody knows something and gets on Facebook, I mean,
yeah,
something could be ruined like that.
Oh, very quickly.
They haven't said anything at all, really.
Well, I had shared on Facebook there a couple weeks ago, two different places where I saw where basically the DCI or sheriff or a combination thereof both said that they don't suspect foul play. And I'm like, how in the hell do you not?
Well, see, he went down to Des Moines for the autopsy. And I guess so they have what they call a preliminary autopsy. And I guess that's just visual looking at the body. Like, you know, there's no broken bones, like, but I think they're still waiting for the last part of it, and that'll be like
forensic toxicology,
toxicology reports. I mean, everything else that takes a little bit of time. But I see Sarah's trying to, and they're trying to raise money with another GoFundMe or something to get a second autopsy to send him down to Kansas City, I believe it is.
Okay, so he hasn't been, he hadn't had a funeral or been buried yet.
So there is plans for a funeral. I don't know when that is. I could look it up, but yeah.
Was it you or, of course, you know, the second this broke, all this news, thanks to you being on the Bushels and Barrels program, I mean, heard by a ton of people, and a ton of people was like, okay, now this is on their antenna and their radar screen. Once the news broke, they found his body. We got 15, 20 emails instantly of people saying,
really?
You know, and the links and everything. And one of those links, or maybe it was my texting back and forth with you, I can't remember where it was there a news station out of Des Moines, a TV station, that flew a drone over like that day or the next day, right across where they found his body, and it clearly shows his body was not there?
Yes. So KCCI, just the local news station out of Des Moines, I don't know if it was the next day or it could have been a couple of days just once, you know, the news stories started coming. And I did watch that video the other day, and it does show a video flying and looking at the house, and the field where David would have been.
And he was not there in the video.
It did not look like it. You know, they were a little higher up, but yeah, it did not look like anything was there. And like when all this news broke out and I drove out there, I mean, you could see tracks going right out there, you know, from all the cop cars or whatever, but
right.
You definitely, I my personal opinion, I think you would have seen his body laying down there, from the road, unless, you know, he was put somewhere else in that field and the cultivator dragged him and they didn't know. But then again, I think the body would have been a little more not intact. So, which makes me think that,
right.
You know, he found him right away and was like, this isn't right. What's in my field cultivator or whatever.
Right. Right. It just seems like there's so many questions that still need to be answered. Like, okay, if there is no foul play, what the hell did he die of? And I mean, it's just so much. Why did he turn right? Why did he go there? If he wasn't feeling good and it was a natural thing, you would think he would have turned left to go into Sac City to get rid of his load of pigs.
Well, so this is another speculation. I'm going to watch how I word this, which is fine. But so there was scuttlebutt, and this did happen. David was having an affair with a certain someone. I think this was a couple years back. And the way I understood it was Sarah's brother and cousin beat the hell out of him.
I'm sorry about the beeping there.
Oh, yeah. So now a lot of people are thinking something happened like that again. And this is all a lot of it's speculation because, you know, everybody asked the question, well, who did he pull over for? And you can keep questioning it, you know, and it's like, well, you know, if it was somebody he knew, he's like, you know, I will pull over for them or something. And that's what a lot of people are thinking right now.
Hmm.
We will see on 2020 or Dateline for sure.
And that's for sure. And, you know, there's even, I believe it is Sarah's mom said that Sarah does not have a brother, but I know close people who grew up with them and around them, and they do have a brother, but we just don't know if they disowned him or if there's something a little more to the story. And
this is wild.
It's getting weirder and weirder, isn't it?
It's wild.
It almost sounds like it.
And, you know, I get on Facebook and, you know, there's just one person thinks this, and I mean, there's 100 speculations and all of them could, you know, one could be right. You know, I wasn't ever expecting to come back on the podcast, you know, with an update or anything like this. I mean, it's just crazy how that works. And I feel so bad, but I think there's a little more to the story than what's being portrayed.
Yeah.
Well, just based off of what you've shared with us, I mean, between the two different times we've spoken on the podcast, it's just it's a weird story to begin with. And then it just is weird that there was a man walk through for a mile, and then you've got drone footage, and then you've got other footage, and nobody seemed to come across him
within a quarter mile of the truck.
Yeah.
Although the authorities were more than happy to tell you that they've searched over 100,000 acres or whatever it was.
It wasn't 100,000.
Yeah, it was.
100,000.
They said
100,000. Cajun Navy did the 100,000 acres or whatever.
Like thermal reading?
Well, you know, I went on one with the four-wheelers. It's just pretty much where they got a bunch of volunteers and they just kept searching, you know.
But I mean, you do it kind of methodically, right? I mean, it's not just haphazardly riding around. You're kind of in a line, slowly moving forward, looking, right?
Yeah. And I mean, there was, and when they were close to Sac, there was tons of people. I mean, you couldn't go a quarter of a mile without seeing, you know, a group of 5-10 people scattered throughout a field.
Right.
And I just don't think he was there when all this happened.
I cannot believe
where did he come from?
Yeah. Yep.
It's in that interview that Sarah did the next morning. They said, what did they say? Her private investigator, they went back on his phone, and from where he turned off of Highway 20 and went north when he should have went south,
yeah,
I believe it took him like 30-some. I'm going to get the times completely wrong. But anyways, from where he should have turned off to where he parked it, they drove that semi 5 miles at like 13 mile an hour. So obviously whoever drove it there did not know how to drive a semi.
Or was telling, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I never even thought about perhaps somebody abducted him on Route 20 and then somebody else got in the truck and drove it to where they eventually found it.
Yeah, and what I think is weird is so, okay, so his truck was turned off, middle of the road, loaded. Okay, keys are still in his semi, but when his body is found, he has his house keys in his pocket.
That's what I thought too, but I didn't want to say something and sound dumb, because wasn't yeah. there were keys in the truck, and then all of a sudden,
he must not have had his semi key on his regular house keys, or I'm guessing they were house keys, because I remember Sarah saying how she had to change all the locks because his keys were missing and whatnot.
Huh.
Well, you know, okay, so I think it's suspicious, and I think I personally, it doesn't sound to me like from everything that I've read and then obviously talking to you who have boots on the ground up there, I don't think he was there whenever you guys were all searching. I don't think he was there. Now, that being said, what kind of dumbass criminal would abduct somebody, kill him, and bring him back to where they abducted him from? Why not take him 100 miles and dump him?
That's exactly what has got everybody off the rails about, because, you know, it's like, well, maybe somebody held him hostage, waited for the area to cool down, and then dump him, and then try to make it seem like the cops or the fire department didn't catch him for, you know, try to, I don't know, maybe make the story a little weirder. Say, it's just, anytime you try to wrap your head around it, you can't.
Right.
There's just so many things that you just wonder that you'll never know.
Yeah. We very well will have you on the program again sometime, because as this unfolds.
Well, and it just sounds like a bunch of speculation, and nobody seems to really know what happened at all with anything surrounding this entire story.
Yeah. And then the thing that makes it weirder is that, you know, the autopsy place where every body in the state of Iowa goes suspects no foul play. I mean, just off the preliminary autopsy.
That's weird.
But I'm just going to say this. They do have a funeral for him. It's May 10th, 2024, 10 a.m. at Peace Lutheran Church in Wall Lake.
Okay.
And then a visitation Thursday, May 9th from 11 to 7.
Mm.
Yeah.
And then I see they're going to do a convoy with semis for him across that Highway 20 for like 20 miles, I think.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of people that, like I said, that Facebook page, if you ever see that, it's just wild. And
a lot of that, you know, I'm sure it's wild. I haven't looked at it yet. I probably will before it's all said and done. But the thing is like, you got to be careful with that, because somebody will take something, say that somebody will make something up. Yep, another person will read it and say, take it as gospel. And then they run with it. And before you know it, you're down some rabbit hole. That's like,
mm-hmm.
You know,
I've read a couple like that where, you know, they're talking about like the first few days searches and what, to where I was like, well, I know we did this and that, but it's when you get people on Facebook, they're, you know, keyboard warriors. They know all.
Oh yeah,
for sure.
The keyboard warriors that live, you know, live in Arizona.
Yep. And don't know a dang thing what they're talking about.
Right. So Chris, what are the odds? Just do your best. What are the odds that in the first 3 days after David went missing, nobody walked across the area where David was eventually found. What are those odds?
Like, you mean, like, do you think I suspect other people searched after us, like, around that area?
All of you guys. Or, somebody.
Do you think, what he's asking, do you think that you guys walked the area that he was found in?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So,
like, what are the chances that you missed him? What are the chances that you missed him? You guys just missed him.
You think there are very good chances you missed him, or do you think there's definitely foul play here?
I think there's foul play here. The fire departments got there. We all had a section that was assigned to us, you know, of just the section of mile, and that where his body was found was one of the first of the four sections searched, and I believe that would have gotten searched real good.
Yeah,
yeah.
I mean, we had side by sides going through fields. I mean, 10 foot apart from each other.
See that right there. Sure. That tells me there's 100% chance that place was searched within the first three days of that semi being found.
Yeah.
There's no way you're going to miss that.
No. And especially, you know, with the plane that they brought over. Well, okay. So if he went missing whenever his truck went found, I think I was doing a little reading. Your body loses, I believe, a degree and a half per hour. Outside, you know, on a decent day. Okay. I think I think their thermal drone still should have picked up a little bit of body heat.
Yeah.
Maybe, I mean, 12 hours later, kind of hard to tell, but I think the guys in the plane, they had to have been flying low enough.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah,
they
you
had
would
to
have
been
thought.
Flying pretty low to be able to see something, a body, you know, a fresh, I mean, a big body out there.
Sure, sure. Another thing that I've seen reported and heard from places, but I can't substantiate, was he in a shallow grave or not?
That's what everybody was saying at first, but when I drove out there, it didn't look like there was no grave out there. It looked like just somebody just dumped him out there. I mean, from where you could tell the dry spot was, where that farmer didn't cultivate or whatever, because that's where they found him.
Yeah.
It didn't, I mean, it just looked like bean stubble that was just combined last year, you know, right after you run the combine off of it.
Right.
Or over it.
So bizarre.
Bizarre is a good word, because bean stubble is nothing, really.
Yeah.
It's not like corn stalks. It's not like corn stalks after harvest, you know?
You know, and Thanksgiving, you know, you might not be doing dirt work or whatever, but you're still going to have fertilizer spreaders running, you know, whether you're putting fertilizer, potash, I mean, lime, whatever.
Right.
So I'd imagine, I mean, if he was anybody, you know, we put that stuff on all our fields in the winter. So you would have think somebody would have seen him there, and especially being so close to a house across the road.
I wonder if this guy's
had dogs.
Yes.
Are these guys dogs? I guess they're on a leash or in a cage or something.
I don't know. I didn't see them, but I would just assume that they're just a farm dog. I you know, a lot of guys around here, they have them great Pyrenees as guard dog. I don't know. I don't know what type of dog he had.
Well, I know. All I know is every dog I've ever had at this farm, every good farm dog that wasn't on a leash or within a pen or something, if there was a dead animal within a half mile of this place, that dog's rolling around in it.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. I'll let my dogs out here on the farm, and they'll go find a pile of coon poop and roll
yes.
in it.
Exactly.
Like, yes. For the first 5 minutes.
Yeah.
I mean, their senses take over.
So you would think if David was laying there, those dogs would have seen, if the dogs are off a leash or whatever.
Yeah.
A dog would have alerted somebody a long time ago.
I would hope so. And, you know, with it being a highway there, maybe the dogs are taught not to go across the highway, but I still think that a dog's temptation with his nose will still get him in trouble.
Oh, yeah.
And I've never smelled, you know, decomposition on a human before, but I hear that that is something that you just can't ever get rid of. And it's so,
well,
you know,
I've smelt it. I've smelt it on hogs, and
yeah,
if it, I can't imagine it's any better than hogs.
Right. Right. I've same with cows for me. Like, yeah.
Yeah.
It takes me back. Whew.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. It's not a pleasant smell.
This is just wild. And maybe they come out and they say this was just a freak accident. And then maybe we accept it and maybe we don't. But this is just a wild story. It's a bizarre story.
It's just crazy in all ways. And I mean, nothing makes sense no matter what you think of it. And I'm glad, you know, Sarah finally has some closure now.
Yeah, I mean, for sure.
They at least have somebody to lay down to rest.
Yeah.
And but man, I could not deal with all the people's speculation.
Yeah. Yeah.
That would be hard.
Yeah, we certainly pray for that family. I tell you what, my heart breaks for the two boys, you know. I mean,
and that's what's worse is, you know, them two, I think what, they're 7, 8 years old twins.
Right.
Now they don't have a dad to teach them things, whether,
yep. You know, it
sucks growing up without a dad.
Right. Well, I saw on TikTok that Tony and Nick might have a man camp. We can send them down there.
I just seen that right before you called, and then I seen your TikTok. I was laughing about that. Oh, boy. Man camp. I might have to just sign that up for it just to come down and visit with y'all.
Well, yeah, I might sign up for it just to make sure I know how I know everything I'm supposed to know.
Yeah, and Tony would be a great teacher.
I guarantee you. Oh, well, buddy, I appreciate your time. Thank you so much for coming back on the show. Definitely worth it. We will continue to keep an eye on this, and you feel free to reach out anytime. If you find out anything, hey, we want to be on the air reporting whatever you find, just because it's such a wild story.
Yeah, and I'm sorry that we have to have you on the show for this reason right here. It's kind of sad. It's really sad, actually. No, kind of.
Thanks for bringing me on. I've enjoyed talking with you guys, and I'm glad I was kind of a reason to get you guys to make a podcast today. It's been a while.
I know.
You and Tony, I've got nothing to listen to. I didn't have anything to listen to this spring tillage.
Yeah, we get that a lot. There's a lot of guys in wet areas, though, so they're going to cash in on this one.
Yep, hopefully. So, but we'll talk at you guys later. Thanks so much for bringing me on again.
All right, thanks for so being much, on.
Chris. Have a good one, guys.
We'll see you.
See ya.
Bye-bye. Bye. So there you go. Boots on the ground in the real world. That's the latest updates up there. Sure. Makes zero sense. The finding of his body only adds more questions and doesn't answer them. What kind of criminal, though, if he's abducted, would take him somewhere and then, like, 5 months, 6 months later, bring him back? See, that in itself is just bizarre. I don't know. Maybe some, you know, criminal psychologists could say, you know, it's like most of the Datelines we watch, like the person that actually kills another person, if they don't get caught immediately, go to their funeral.
Yeah.
You know, maybe it's something kind of weird like that.
I don't know. The rumors of an affair and, you know.
Those are the rumors. I hate to go too far into that stuff.
Sure. I hate rumors, being from an outsider and, you know, or being an outsider inside a little town. But what is it, 90% of, like, domestic cases have something to do with the spouse?
Well, yeah. Yeah, I mean.
It's pretty high. I'm pretty sure it's high.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know these people from
it's
Adam.
It's worrisome. Regardless, it's worrisome. He's right. A trucker. He's a farmer. He's got a family. And he may not have been the best person in the world. So what?
Well, neither am I.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So, you know, it shouldn't have cost him his life.
No.
I don't think that there's a...
But...
I don't know. This is just a wild story. So we'll find out, I guess.
Yeah. Yep.
Maybe. So. And maybe it'll be years from now. Maybe it'll be 6 months from now. Who knows?
Right.
But hopefully sooner than later.
Well, we had a good one today, didn't we?
Yeah.
Good podcast.
What What do you have going on this week? You're going to try to get in the field? Or
if we miss rain, I will be planting Tuesday. I'll be working dirt tomorrow and planting Tuesday.
All right.
But we got to miss the rain.
Okay.
And it's not looking too hot, according to the weatherman.
Ooh.
But I don't know. If we don't miss the rain, we're going to continue moving old crop corn out, just getting it to market. I don't know. Go through the equipment again.
Yeah.
Make sure it's ready to go. I mean, depending on how much it rains, you can always do backhoe work. That's mm-hmm. the job that just never, ever ends.
You've got some real pretty wheat.
Oh, I got some awesome looking wheat.
Yeah.
Very excited about it. Got it all fungicided up. It's headed out, looking beautiful.
Man, it sure is. And it turned in no time. Like, just, I mean, not turned, but the color already, you know, when it's growing.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's finished heading, I guess is what you would call it.
Yep.
It turns colors, a different shade of green. Yeah. So
yeah.
It's beautiful.
Couldn't believe it the other day. I don't remember if it was on TikTok or Facebook. I saw one of my buddies, Corey Book, down in Texas, said that he's a couple weeks away from cutting wheat. So like, yeah, I guess you probably would be down there.
Yeah, yeah, that's funny.
So anyway.
Okay.
Well.
Is that it for today?
I think we'll just call it a day. I got a couple news stories here. We can use them next time, though.
Give us the headlines. Let's see what
headlines.
You had on
you
the docket. Yeah.
Alabama Supreme Court declines to revisit IVF ruling.
Okay.
So, and then the other one is a fourth state is defying Biden on changes to Title IX affecting trans students.
Huh.
So,
interesting.
A couple good stories.
You know what? Speaking of IVF, I've never been like a proponent of it. I don't know a whole lot about it. I know that they come in, they take eggs, and then they they fertilize egg in a Petri dish.
Yeah, something like that.
They used to call it Petri babies or Petri dish babies.
Yeah.
And then they go in and insert it into the uterus of the woman, you know, and then they see if it sticks or not. Mm-hmm. That's kind of how that works.
The story that I got is pretty interesting, but I want to save it.
Yeah, well, there was a story that I heard on one of the Christian podcasts that I listened to, and he was saying that since there's so many problems with women getting pregnant these days, you know, IVF is a common conversation in today's world. And I'm going, okay, this is going to be interesting. And he said, you can do this. He had the viewpoint of IVF is harvesting those eggs, fertilizing, you know, with the sperm also, and putting them in a cup and freezing them, or putting them in a dish mm-hmm. and freezing them for years.
Mm-hmm.
And just recently, I think the oldest IVF twins turned like 30 years old or something, but they were frozen for 30 years. So they were babies already conceived, but in a dish and frozen for 30 years. And then they were put in. No, they had just been born is what it was. They had just been born.
They had been frozen for 30 years?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So
it's a big deal for science.
So they were put in, I guess, for frozen for 30 years. They were put in a woman that was not the mother?
Not the mother, not the father. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Huh.
So he was of the opinion that, you know, a life is a life at conception. And this is a frozen human, you know, and then so he didn't necessarily agree with the morality of the way scientists went about this.
Yeah.
Now, these two babies have a life, you know, they've been given life, but they were given life back 30 years ago.
That is just wild.
Mm-hmm. But it's a big deal for science right now. So I'm, you know, there's always been something that never really, it's such a big conversation in today's world of having babies.
Well, see, this story, we will get to this story.
Okay.
It's not going to be today, but some stuff about this story that honestly, I like to think that I can reason pretty well with stuff when it comes to moral and non-moral.
Yeah.
And the stuff that I read in this is like, it is head scratching.
Well, yeah, because this guy who was doing it on the podcast, and it might have been Truth and Liberty that I was listening to, he says these babies are conceived. So you've got an egg and sperm, and a baby is conceived in a dish and they're put away. And then if this family has two or three children or a pregnancy was like life threatening for the mother, what do they do with the 10 other eggs and sperm that have already conceived? What do they do with them? They just throw them away. And he has a problem with that.
Okay.
So I'm just saying, like,
we're going to do another podcast soon because I want to talk about this.
It's very, I've never heard that opinion of IVF before, but it was very interesting.
Well, I'm going to take what you just said on the next podcast. I'm not going to say one up you, but I'm going to give you even more to think about.
Oh my.
Because of this story.
It's mind twisting.
It is. It's totally mind twisting.
Because our Father, our creator of life is the, you know, he's the author of life. So this is hard for me to understand and wrap my head around.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It's almost like we got too much power now. In a way. But in a way not. Because, I mean, we have two human beings that are viable lives. And they deserve they deserve everything that the country has to offer. Mm-hmm. And that they can work for. Mm-hmm. You know? So.
Yeah.
Wild. We'll be back soon, folks. I promise.
Okay. Interesting. So,
very interesting. Well, I guess we're going to go open up the pool, and I might drive over to Edwards County where they got a tenth and a half, 0.2 inch of rain, see if I can finish mudding on the last of my burn down chemicals today before the rain tomorrow. Or I might just stick around here and play at home. So who knows?
Yeah.
But anyway, we hope you enjoyed the program. We're going to go out with my favorite Morgan Wallen song. Like, I don't think it ever like really made it that popular.
Okay.
But it's a good one. Leah Thomas is still a boy.
Yes, he is.
You were born an American.
Don't forget to be one.
Jesus Christ is our Savior. Amen. We'll see you next time, buddy.
I wish I would have met you anywhere but where I did. Some old high-rise town that I won't ever go again. Wish we would have rolled around some old city lights, hit bars I don't like. We were listening to One More Silver Dollar, hanging out by Silver Rattle, down the road I love to ride. Wish I would've known that by now you'd be good and gone, and you'd leave us in a cloud of dust. Can't you see what you're doing, girl? You know it damn near. Girl, your memory starts to float. Baby, why'd I ever take the bait and take the places that I love to go? Hell, I'll never know. I even took you to my hometown to meet my mama. Now I'm gonna see you every time I see that welcome sign. Wish I would've known about now you'd be good and gone, and you'd leave us in a cloud of dust. Can't you see what you're doing, girl? You know damn near everything I love. Can't you see what you do?